morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. First Monday of the month. That means it's Great River Economic Development Foundation Day. And their executive, Kyle Moore, is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary. It's great to see you.
How are the Dodgers doing?
Well, we could be doing better. We lost the series to the Yankees, but that's okay.
You're doing better than the Cardinals, though, aren't you?
We are. But I'm not one to rub it in.
No. Well, we can both hate the Yankees together.
There we go. Jeff Dorsey was happy this weekend,
oh,
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, Dorsey. Get rid of that guy.
That's right.
Yankees. Well, let's talk a little bit about Great River Economic Development. The city council, even though everybody didn't vote for it, just passed a renewal of the Bet on Q and QRAP program. Mm-hmm. And what's your stance on that? What's your point of view on those programs?
From the Great River Economic Development Foundation, we always celebrate when the community invests in economic development. You know, the Bet on Q program as well as the QRAP, that's the Quincy Workforce Relocation Assistance Program, gives us more tools in our toolbox, so to speak, to promote and to bring more development to Quincy. The Bet on Q program has been wonderful to bring, for an example, the billiards tournament here. People don't realize this, but it's competitive to get these conventions in town, and so a lot of times you have to throw money at them to defray some of their costs to come to your community. And so that program has done really well, and that's what we want. We want more people to come in and experience Quincy, whether it be for a day, a night, or a weekend. We have a beautiful community, so that program helps that. But really, from the Great River Economic Development standpoint, Foundation standpoint, the QRAP has just been a wonderful program that the mayor and city council has developed. So that program offers up to $5,000 for an individual who moves from outside of the county to fill a job in the community and stays here for a year, and they stay with that same employer for a year. We have a worker shortage here, and so that program, as along with the Quincy Calling campaign, helps every employer in our community market our community to potential candidates. And so there have been, I believe, over 180 families since August of 2021 that have utilized that program, working for 108 different employers. And certainly the Blessing and the Knappheids are the largest, but we've got pretty much a lot of small businesses. Quincy University. A lot of small businesses have utilized it. So we applaud the city council and the administration for continuing to invest in economic development, whether it be those two programs or the development that they did with Target. When you invest in economic development, that brings progress to your community, and that brings increased opportunities for everybody.
And, you know, a lot of people still, and I understand their reluctance to buy into this because they don't understand the full picture of how competitive it is. Target can go anywhere. Why they come to the corner of 36th and Broadway has something to do with us greasing their wheels. And some people say, well, that's just awful. That's bribery. That's extortion. That's whatever. But honey bunny, that's the way life be, and they can go anywhere and do anything, and they're going to come to a community that is going to be, quote, the most welcoming. And we have this food and beverage tax, which 60% of that food and beverage tax is paid by people who don't live in Quincy, and that money has to be spent to spur economic development. So it's already passed. It's got to be spent. Bringing things like Target in are certainly much anticipated. I know they're having hiring fairs. I don't know how they're going to hire enough people to keep open, but that's not my problem.
Exactly. I feel like they've done the market research ahead of time and know that. I know that's a common question, but what I also remind people as well is that I you kind of said it really well. I wish we lived in an environment where we weren't competing with other communities, but we are. We're not only competing against other communities in Illinois, but really throughout the world now. It's a worldwide market, so we do live an environment where incentives matter. But the retail incentives also, just for everyone's recollection, was because we had five anchor stores that were vacant, that were large, over 90,000 square foot. And what happens to a community if you don't get redevelopment in those stores? You get blight because there's not investment in that. And then eventually what's happened in other communities is the community has to take that over and redevelop it and put more funds into it. And so the $1 million that was spent on Target was money well spent if you think about what the long-term effects would be. And then also, Quincy has long been known as a retail hub, that we have people from around a 60-mile radius come to shop here. When you lose five huge stores, you lose a little bit of that draw to get people here. So now when you get a store like Target coming in, along with the Game Masters and the Menards and all the other stores that we have, you're more likely to get that individual from Macomb or from Macon to come to Quincy instead of going to Wentzville or Peoria.
Yeah, it's really a short drive with very good highway now to Springfield and to the St. Louis suburbs. And so to get people to turn this way instead of turning south or east is going to become more and more difficult. Now, to the west, the only thing we really have to worry about is Columbia. Mm-hmm. Kirksville's got its problems. There's really nothing in northeast Missouri. Keokuk has got severe problems. You know, Macomb has done some great things, but I think still many people consider this, you know, a once monthly trip or something mm-hmm. like that. So as long as Quincy can maintain that upper hand, that upper edge, we'll be fine. Let's talk about some things that are going in. We keep hearing about restaurants that are coming in. We keep hearing about the corner of 30th and Broadway. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us today about the updates on some of these new boxes that we've seen either be refurbished? We know Target's opening in August. Mm-hmm. What's happening, you know, on the rest of that corner? What's happening six blocks away at 30th and Broadway? What's going on around town?
Sure. Well, you're going to see a lot of, I believe, exciting announcements, and I'm certainly not here to make any announcements this morning, Mary. I wish I was.
I wish you were too.
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to see a national franchise, food franchise in front of Target. My guess is that's going to be announced after they have their opening and allow the crowds to come in and do that, because there'll be some construction on that corner. But I have talked to a number of companies that have signed letter of intents in Quincy, and I think people are going to be excited that they're going to get some additional options. You know, we saw an article not too long ago that Tom Marks, you know, at 30th and Broadway, not only are you going to get Planet Fitness, you see the Verizon already up there, but that store is pretty, those three stalls are pretty much leased out. You know, I know Trevor Beck's doing some great things with the other lot at 30th and Broadway. It's cleared that up, ready for development. So, again, I think you're going to see a lot of exciting announcements. And when I talk to national retailers, whether they be food, whether they be hotels, whether they be you know, retail franchises, when you tell them that a Target is coming into your community and that you did not have one before, and they're taking over an old Kmart, that usually gets your foot in the door. And a lot of people will take a look at it because essentially then they believe that Target has done the market research for them, you know. So
yeah.
you're going to see a lot of interest out at Prairie Trails. You know, they're almost filled up now, which is wonderful. And I think it's interesting. You're seeing a lot of stores that used to be inside a mall now go to more of a thing like that. So we're seeing the market kind of.
It's so
switch.
Funny because
right.
when I was a little kid, we had the Legion Town and Country mm-hmm. Shopping Center. And then,
yeah.
of course, oh, you can't have a shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a strip.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to enclose it. We've got to make it a mall. Now it's all back to strip. Now, again, I'm so old, Kyle. You're such a child compared to me. But I remember when Prairie Crossing was being built, a lot of people were complaining that we jumped the highway.
It's controversial,
there, yep. There was a lot of stuff downtown, especially at, you know, 18th and Broadway. 20th and Broadway. There was a lot of stuff down at 12th and Broadway maybe at that time that could have been developed. We didn't need to have that all go out there. There's always a movement against change. The thing that's so interesting is we don't have all the information. These multi-million dollar corporations have figured something out that we just don't know. And so they build out there. They take the risk out there. It looks like it's working out there. But again, the city of Quincy had to make a big investment. I don't know if that was during your time or your time.
No, that was before my time.
But they had to put sewer and
yes.
water out there.
Yes.
I mean, that was a big investment to cross that highway.
And they also did a quarter cent sales tax rebate to repay for that. You know, so it was a big investment, and a lot of times national retailers and franchises are looking for highway access. You know, and that's something, whether we like it or not, having 20th, you know, having a store at 20th and Broadway doesn't give you that same highway access. And so I think the city was, you know, obviously really smart for making that investment out there, because we've seen those national franchises go there. And, you know, it's interesting. We've been around enough to know that the investment in economic development is sometimes controversial, whether you're talking about that, whether you're talking about the 45x30 plan, which was the food and beverage tax. New things always are a little controversial, but can you imagine our community now without the Prairie Trail Shopping Center? You know, what that would look like, and what you know, the stores that are out there that we wouldn't have now. If you look at the 180 families that have moved into the city of Quincy that are working for Quincy employers during a worker shortage. And one of the things that we always remind people of is that we want our employers to continue to invest in Quincy and Adams County. They're going to continue to invest here if they can fill jobs. If we are an area where they cannot fill jobs, and they are located in other areas throughout the United States, and they're having no problems fill those jobs, eventually they're going to just start expanding there, which means our opportunities are going to leave our community, and that's what we don't want.
I mean, it doesn't do you any good to build a factory if nobody will come to work in
it. Correct.
And that's why it's going to be very interesting to see how Target fills the sales force that they need and the associate force, I guess. You know, because it's not just people as cashiers, it's stockers, it's everybody else. The other thing is, of course, the reluctance to work. And I think that, you know, to put a spin on it that's more popular than just these young kids today, they've got a much better concept of work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to work like I worked when I was in my 20s, just grind it out, you know, 12, 15 hours every day to get to where I am today. Well, if I'd known this was the pinnacle, I would have stopped working when I was 25.
Also, remote work, you know,
yeah,
it plays a part. Plays a part in it. We're now individuals of all ages understand that they can work for any company from the comfort of their own home if they have the right skill set, which makes it more challenging for brick and mortar stores to find individuals.
Yeah, it and then of course, the young people, some of them, and some old people too, don't have a skill set. I don't know how we're going to teach them a skill set. Just talking last week with Bruce Guthrie, I have been more than once sitting in a nice restaurant and have somebody ask the waitress, "Yeah, we're just visiting town. What is there to do?" "Well, there's nothing to do in Quincy. Quincy sucks." You know, it's like, excuse me. I've even gotten up and gone over, you know, after they're
good
done and
you.
Said, "Hey,
yeah.
I've lived here all my life, and you know, what kind of things are you interested in?
Because
here's some stuff that's going on." But you know, we have to constantly be doing that. We have to constantly be on our toes, constantly seeking also, what have you done for me lately? You know, people say, "Well, Target, why should we give them so much money?" Well, we gave Napod a lot of money too. Look what they built. And that's a local company, and they give back greatly to our community. How do you assess our local business owners?
Mm-hmm.
How are they faring in this time of competition from big box and chains?
Well, everybody, as we talked about for many months, is really suffering from the worker shortage, and everybody can tell you they can hire 5 to 10 associates, whether it be retail or if you're talking about our large employers, you know, Blessing could use 50 nurses right now, I'm sure, you know. And so that leads us to the other thing that we're finding is that the housing shortage has really affected people's ability to move into our community, to move into a home. And so we're working right now with the city and county to hopefully develop some housing incentives that can help loosen up that market. So we're seeing that these are all these are all tied together. The housing shortage makes a difference with the worker shortage because we can't bring enough people here because they can't find houses to live in. And so I think what I tell people is Quincy's primed like never before to grow, whether it be from large employers like Titan and Manchester Tank and Napide to the small food restaurants who are busier than ever, who now have to close a day out of the week because they can't find enough people. We just need more people here to fill those jobs, and then we'll really take off. And I think we're doing the right things, though.
Well, we certainly drive by at the corner of 8th and Jersey there, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
and we see that there's some new housing going up there. There'll be new housing this summer, I guess, going up near the corner of 18th and Cook's Lane. That will be single family dwellings because that's what that is zoned for. There was a movement to try to get condos or apartments out there, but that failed. So still, you know, like you said, we have the housing shortage, and Quincy, the city, is trying to do the fix and flat and trying to do all this. How does Greta put your piece of the puzzle into perspective? Because I love the fact that you guys are all collaborating, the city, the district, Greta, the chamber. You know, you're really collaborating more than you ever have. But what areas is, like, the Greta, the lead dog on that sled?
So the two things that we're doing right now is, first, we're completing a housing study for the city and county that shows the projected need over a 10-year period. And over a 10-year period, we could use about 1,600 housing units in the city of Quincy. So we act then as an advocate for the city and county to encourage those elected officials to adopt more incentives or policies that can encourage housing. The second thing that we do is then we tie the market to potential developers. So we will go talk to whether it be the home builders or the landlord association or developers from out of town and say, these are the opportunities that are in our community. This is how you can make money in housing in the city of Quincy. We then, if you're a potential developer and you're looking at different incentive packages, we then can help connect them with the different incentives that are offered, whether it be city incentives with their small rental rehab program, or there's also different state and federal assistance that people can tap into. So we kind of connect all the dots. And so we're there, again, speaking on behalf of the employers in our community to say they would be able to hire more people if we had more houses on the market. And that is really what's the inhibitor of growth right now, is the inability to hire more people because there's a lack of housing.
You know, I look at something like the Althoff Hotel that's going out of business, and I look at that and think to myself, you know, would you want to live in a hotel room the rest of your life? No, it's small. But if I was a single man or a single woman and I was lower income and I was struggling and I had a job, but I was having some housing insecurity, it seems to me it's like, we haven't had a new Hannibal or a new Quincy Housing Authority project for a while. I mean, I know we did a rehab, and actually that turned out to be less units, nicer units, but less units. What is this dearth of not being able to bring in, you know, like housing authority money?
Well,
for
example, right now, if you talk to Jerry Gilley at the Housing Authority, the dollars for vouchers haven't increased with the prices of rent as they have nationally. So now, where it used to be profitable for landlords to take Section 8 vouchers, now they say, well, I can go in the open market and get more money for that. Huh. So the federal government has not caught up to the market conditions, so to speak. And, you know, for Greta's standpoint, we're here to advocate for all housing, whether it be for affordable market rate housing, income based. One of the things of the housing study that we learned was the need for senior houses. So 65% of seniors in Adams County own their home. And it used to be that seniors, as they grew older, would downsize in homes. And then that created openings for families, young families to move in. Now seniors are not wanting to downsize. They want to stay in their home longer. And so that's really creating this log jam at the top, so to speak. And so one of the things that we learned with this is, you know, there could be some senior housing developments that could probably be filled pretty quick. And if we had more developments like that, then we would have more houses on the market.
Okay. Kyle Moore, always great when you stop by. I know you're not going to drop a good bombshell as much as I must ask and beg you to do every month, but what's the one thing you want to leave the WTAD listening audience with today, one or two things?
Yeah, just a couple things that we have that partnership with the district and the chamber, and we have a couple opportunities for our members to participate. First, June 15th, we're doing a leadership training. So if you're a small business, medium-sized business, and you want to put your employees through leadership training, we have that 10 to 1 a.m. on June, or 10 to 1 p.m. on June the 15th. And then lastly, we host a quarterly politics and pancakes breakfast. We're doing that again June the 27th. We're having state Representative Noreen Hammond and State Representative C.D. Davidsmeyer. They both represent parts of Adams County, and Noreen was a part of the budget process this year, so it's going to be a very interesting conversation.
Well, according to Noreen, she wasn't much a part of it.
Well, there you go, but she was included, and she can tell us all about that, right? So that's June the 27th, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., free for members. So,
you know, that is one of the things about our community here. The Republicans are in such a majority.
Minority.
Republicans are in a majority over here.
Oh, majority over here, yes, but not
so
in the state.
So the Democrats, there's nothing we can do. But then you get out of Adams-Brown Pike, and man, we are the Republicans are nowhere to be seen in Springfield. And but Noreen did get a few things passed. So again, bipartisanship if it's a good idea.
There you go.
Thank you so very much.
Mary.
Kyle Moore, director of GRETIF. We'll take a break. Good morning, everyone. It is 9:43, and Emily Lombardi has joined me with the district. And my goodness, she's got two full pages of stuff to talk about. But let's talk about like we're pent up. We've had a half a year without it, more than that. It's Blues in the District opening night this Friday night, 5:30 to 9:30 at Washington Park. Emily, welcome, and tell us about the premier event for the district, please.
It's so good to be here, Mary. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, we are finally back. I cannot believe that it's already this Friday that we are bringing our first band, the Mary Jo Curry Band, here to Washington Park. So grab your coolers, grab your friends, and really just enjoy a free concert downtown just to experience the beginning of summer with the people you love most. So we're super excited to bring it back.
The great thing about the way it's set up in the park, in Washington Park, is if you really, really, really want to hear the music and really be part of that, you know, almost concert experience, you gather up around that area. Mm-hmm. And then if you just want it to be background music and you want to talk with your friends, you remove yourself to the corners, you know, because you don't want to be talking while people are listening. But it's such a social event. How do you decide who gets to come? Because I know nothing about blues music. So, I mean, I wouldn't know who to book.
You and me both, Mary.
You get some help, huh?
You know, honestly, we actually get a lot of traction with people from the tri-state area that do contact the district because this is our 26th year. It's a really big
event. So they want to come here.
They want to come here. We also have a wonderful Blues in the District committee, a lot of avid blues listeners and lovers. So we have a good base of people that kind of know which ones to bring, which ones to not. This year, we really wanted to bring different female artists, people of color, things like that, to kind of have a little bit of a diverse lineup this year. And I think we actually did a really great job. So Mary Jo and Ivy Ford that's coming in are some pretty cool chicks.
TI Trust and very own Star Radio, WTAD, sponsor this first concert. And then the Stephen Hull Experience on June 23rd, Ivis John Band the 14th of July, Coyote Bill and the Brood on July 28th, Friday, August 11th, Dustin Arbuckle and the Damnations, and then the last concert, August 25th, Ivy Ford. And, of course, so much great stuff going on, but really make sure you're downtown this Friday night, free, free, free. And there are going to be activities sponsored by Blessing Health System and also by Quincy Children's Museum. So let the little ones get their wiggles out.
They love it, too. So they can hang out with the Quincy Children's Museum. We're going to have a food truck there. As also TCBY will be serving up treats as well. So you can just come down and stay for a couple hours and really enjoy the evening.
We've got a full summer's lineup. Of course, Farmers Market's already underway every Saturday morning from 8 to 1. And these farmers markets are becoming more and more popular. Smaller towns are having their own farmers markets during the week. But everybody loves to come down to Washington Park for the farmers market. Sometimes you have the same vendors every year. Sometimes you get somebody new. So
we got a bunch of new ones this year.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's because of the popularity for a lot of the pop-up events that are happening in smaller towns. So, but honestly, we've been doing the Quincy Farmers Market, the district has, for over 45 years. So it's not something that we talk about often, but, man, we'll have different vendors, and we also have Gary that's been doing it for 45 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a fun way to kind of see the different mom-and-pop shops, a lot of the local farmers. We do pull people from around 80 miles around Quincy. So they are here to serve their local produce, their handmade crafts. We have two grants this year to kind of match our senior coupons, WIC, as well as link purchases. So you can also double your money to spend it here at the Quincy Farmers Market.
Really fantastic. Then, of course, that's always Saturday. And then you have Shop the District Saturdays. Talk about that and how successful that's been.
I would love to. I would love to.
Because you've got new business. I just got your newsletter, And you've got all kinds of new businesses downtown, too.
We do. We have been working a lot with, I think you had Kyle on before.
Yeah.
So Gretiff and the Chamber of Commerce, the three of us have really been trying to capitalize on what kind of businesses are coming to Quincy, the numbers that we're kind of looking at, how many people get employed here, to kind of make sure that we know that we're spending our money here to support Quincy. So I know, I think as of right now, we have 26 new businesses in Adams County just for this year alone. We're trying to bring people some awareness to shop locally because we know how important that is to spend your money here to support the families that live here in Quincy. So our Shop Local Saturday events, we're doing that every first Saturday of the month. It's new. We like to try new things here at the district as well. So we're trying to get the word out that if you think Saturday you're going out shopping, come downtown, see what you can find. We have a lot of stores that want to participate. They'll be having their own discounts. The district has been giving away gift certificates to people either if they're going into the shops and making a purchase or if they follow us on Facebook. We've been doing some giveaways as well. Our gift certificate program, we give it to people, and that money goes directly back into the community. So participating stores, they can cash them in with us, and we'll write them a check straight back out to them.
Wow,
so
that is fantastic.
It's a really great benefit that Quincy
first
has.
First Saturday of every month. Also, some big events to look forward to coming up, the Midsummer Arts Fair. And this has a component not only of the art during the day, but NAPHIDE is celebrating a big anniversary this year. What is
Huge.
It, 170 or 175?
175.
175 mm-hmm. this year for NAPHIDE. And so they're going to have a free street dance Saturday night, June 24th, with Blacktop South playing. And there'll be food trucks and, you know, beverage trucks and stuff like that. But admission to that is free. And that's all part of kind of Midsummer Arts Fair. Talk about these anchor events, Blues in the District, Midsummer Arts Fair, you know, Shop Local Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
How is this all working together to reinvigorate?
Yeah, these are promotions that we hope can promote a buzz, promote this idea of community to come downtown, not only for the people that have invested in properties downtown, but people that are raising their families here for years and years and years. So
you're going to have a big housing complex coming up pretty soon.
Can you believe how fast it's
yeah,
going up?
Yeah, it's going up very, very quickly. And I mean, I think that there'll be all variety of people will live there. I see some young people will probably live there. Some older people will probably live there, you know. And
it really goes to show that there are things that are happening downtown that are going to draw people to want to live in downtown Quincy. And that is a big shift, I think, that's been going on here. And we're really trying to showcase to people that Quincy is the place that you want to be and to experience and to support the shops that have been here and are new as well. So that's kind of the big broad spectrum of why we have those big events as well as the Shop Local as well.
Well, I love it. The newsletter talked about a new Altered Pine and Stay Golden at 835 Kentucky. Let's remember the district does stretch, not just on Main Street, but this is refinished furniture, also permanent jewelry.
Have you checked her out yet?
I have not.
Incredible. She does incredible work, young girl.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it sounds fantastic. Funky Finds at 112 North 7th Street, Antique Mall and Vintage Shop. And then, of course, all the other stuff that's going on. How critically important is it? I know I was just sharing with Emily, I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and one of the things we're going to do, we're going to hit in Little Rock, Arkansas, we're going to hit the food scene, and we're going to hit the restored downtown area, two really interesting places that I definitely want to go see. And so I think sometimes because we're Quincyans, we dismiss our own downtown, but I had a couple of ladies in here, I think it was Wednesday, and I took them on a little tour of the city, just, you know, in their cars after they were done with the show. I said, hey, would you like me just to show you around? They were captivated
mm-hmm.
by the, and we just went in the district, basically. They were captivated by this.
Are they from Quincy?
No, they're from St. Louis, but they're yeah. both are planning trips back because of the mm-hmm. architecture, the history, all that stuff that we're, you know, trying to promote so much. I think that our downtown district, what are you doing to promote, you know, retail tourism? Is there something specific you're doing to promote retail tourism? Because there are shops
mm-hmm.
that you just can't go anywhere else and have a shop like that.
We are currently working on creating a shopping guide. We also work very closely with the travel Sequency as well on creating resources for people to access on all the really amazing things that are happening downtown.
I know you have like a taste and see or something like that where different restaurants come together. And from if you're from out of town, you can come in and go to six different spots or something and take a little tour and
Those are the flavor tours. Yep. Those are the flavor tours through Sequency. And we try our best to partner with different organizations. We're a 501c6, so we're a nonprofit as well. We are trying to create like a shopping guide, so things that will show with a map and a list of, hey, if you're in Quincy, check out all these different places, not just retail, but we have salons, we have spas, we have tattoo parlors, we have a diverse and thriving downtown. So how can we get that information to people that come here? I am not from Quincy. This is about a year and a half going on almost 2 years, and I just remember the first time coming over the bridge and like, whoa, this is incredible, and made me want to stay. And now I get the best job in promoting of like, hey, these are all the wonderful things that Quincy has to offer as I'm still learning them as well.
Well, and I think we have to see it sometimes with your young, fresh eyes because I'm not going to say anything bad. I mean, okay, the building right across the street, the old Quincy Library, okay, I see it every day. I look at it every day. Every morning when I walk in, I don't go, wow. But, you know, people coming here for the first time go, wow. And so we have to remember that there is a wow factor to what we become very, used to.
Mm-hmm.
And things like Blues in the District will bring people from all different communities here. Mm-hmm. And now the patio serving Sunday brunch, the people that are downtown and the new Armory Event Center and just so much stuff that is going on. How do you gauge the health of the downtown community? Because we do have some big vacancies. We have some areas that are sitting empty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you try to keep those full?
So we do cover 92 square blocks in our downtown. That is the biggest downtown in all of the United States. So we do have a large area to cover, but we are an accredited Main Street program, which means that we provide statistics to the state to let them know what our vacancies look like, what our employee retention looks like in the downtown specifically. We have resources that we can apply for grants as well as money for people to not only open business but stay in business as well. So as being part of a greater community, the Illinois Main Street community, we really as a city get the opportunity to work with a program that is known to be successful in the revitalization efforts to purchase these buildings as well as renovate them and fill them correctly. So like I said before, too, we have a lot of partnerships with the Chamber of Commerce, GRETIF, another economic development community organization, and they really do help us figure out not only finding the people to fill those places, but to look at ways to keep people employed downtown as well.
I think a lot of people need to understand that if they have a small business and maybe they've been doing it in their home or maybe they want to move out of their garage and move to a permanent location, they need to contact the district. You have some spaces that could even be subdivided, you know. I mean, maybe they don't need a big space, but maybe the people that own that big space would say, well, you know, you can start here, and if I get somebody to fill up the big space, then you'll have to have a month's notice and you'll have to scurry forward. But so much is happening with the living above the ground floor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's just so much going on in the district. We do want to say that Christmas in July, mark this down, is Thursday, July 27th at Revelry. That's how they make the money to pay for the lighting of the district, and that's always fun. The leadership workshop is next June 15th. Kyle talked about that when he was here. The Quincy Axe Company is kind of an interesting. Now,
so
they have
cool.
a storefront downtown,
they do.
But they also go out just like a food truck and take their axe throwing everywhere. So talk a little bit about what it takes to be successful in a downtown district business.
That's a tough question, Mary.
I know the Silhouette Shop's under new ownership, and those
they
guys are going
oh, they're
great.
They're wonderful.
You know, they're really a brand new. It's always exciting when new people come on board because they bring just a different. I mean, first of all, they had a great base because the ladies took care of that shop and made that a destination for Quincy. That's the thing. You don't have to be. If you're the destination, people go to domestics, et cetera. They wouldn't care where it was. They mm-hmm. want that. They want the Silhouette Shop. There are a lot of things downtown that people will come downtown mm-hmm. just for that. They don't care where it is. They don't care if it's at the mall mm-hmm. or if it's out on South 24th Street. They want that product.
I think connection is a huge way to build success in a business. I mean, everybody knows how difficult it is to work, but to own your own business, a lot of people don't know what they're doing. They're just taking that leap of faith and that connection with not only your neighbors, but your organizations such as the district or the Chamber of Commerce, Gretif, Arts Quincy. I mean, there's so many places to support people that are wanting to really make a difference here, not only with sales, with what they're selling, but also in the community as well. And we wouldn't be who we are without that. So I would say connection is a big one, grit, innovation, things like that.
Things like that. Emily Lombardi, great to have you. We need to have you on more often. So much stuff going on. Blues in the District, Friday night, the first one. Be there at 5:30.